Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamitzia Daf Chaf, the last full daf of the first parak of Masechta Bamitzia. We are holding on Daf Yutes and Beis. We are at the two dots, Tan Rabbanan, five lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Allah Shalom, and Hashem Shav and Aliyah, also by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should return home safely. And also by Rabbi Bruckheimer, in loving memory of his wife, Hindul Bas Eliakim HaKohen, Zichrona Levracha, and Hashem Shav and Aliyah, as well as in honor of his real Bar Mitzvah anniversary, which is Adar Sheni. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to talk about today is we're going to have two different explanations why you're allowed to return a shover if the Isha is Moda. After all, aren't we concerned that it's Mukdam, like all the other shtaros we've been talking about, that maybe they wrote it in 1 month and then they didn't give it until 6 months later. So it wasn't executed until 6 months later. So the Gemara is going to have two explanations, Machlokas, Abaye, and Rava, why each one doesn't lie. The other one's explanation. Then the last mission, the first parak, is going to appear in the middle of Chaf Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah is going to give us a number of cases where you do return found shtaros, some of which are a Maisa Beis Din, and for that reason you return them, and others have a simen on it, the way that they're packaged, the way that they're being held together, the number of shtaros that they are. There's some sort of simen to be able to know that you're returning it to the correct person. Then, since the Mishnah mentions shtarei biru as one of the types of shtaros that we return, so the Gemara is going to have two explanations. What on earth is shtare or are shtare birurin? The Gemara is going to then talk about returning a maisa beis din that refers to iser and not to mamon. Maisa beis different, like a get is a maisa, is a shtar that relates to iser. So we're going to talk about isura mi mamona. Can we learn one from the other and how we have examples of both in our Mishnah? Then the Gemara is going to try to figure out what exactly is the simin that the Mishnah is talking about, that you have a bunch of shtaros and there's a simin to indicate who they belong to. Is the simin the number of shtaros, the simin the way the shtaros are packaged together? And the Gemara is going to talk about why we return the shtaros when they'll have the same lova or the same malva, meaning what the assumption is when you find a bunch of shtaros and they all have one of the names in the shtaros is the same. Then the Gemara is going to tell us a chiddush of Rabbi Yirmiya, that a shover found by the malva isn't binding. We do not assume that the loan has already been paid. When the malva is the one holding on to the shover, meaning he does remember, he's just looking at it through his shtaros, and he sees that he has a shover that says that someone had paid him back. Well, why does he have the shover? Shouldn't the lova have the shover? So it's confusing. So the Rabbi Yirmiya says, assume that the guy already paid you loan, you're not allowed to collect that loan again. The Gemara is going to challenge Rabbi Yirmiya from five different places, and that's going to bring us to the end of the parak. Five different challenges to Rabbi Yirmiya's chiddush. So let's begin at Tan Rabbanan on the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Beis. So Daf Yutas Amud Beis rather. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa matzah shover. If a shtar that a woman wrote to her husband where she's moda that he already paid up a ksuba, and you find that that shover, you find that shtar bizman she isha moda, when the woman is moda that the husband in fact already paid up the ksuba, and she had given him this receipt in return for the payment of the ksuba, so yachsu lebal, give it back to the baal. But ein isha moda, lo yachsu lo lezeh velo lezeh. But if the woman is not moda that she had already received payment for her ksuba, so then do not return it to the woman nor to the husband. So b'zman she isha moda miyas yachsu lebal. Now the brice is pretty clear that if the isha is moda, you do return it to the baal. As long as she says, yes, he's already paid up the ksuba, you can return this shover to the baal. Why can you do that? Shouldn't you be choshish that maybe this the woman wrote the shover al das to give it to the husband in Nisan, but he only because she thought he would pay up the ksuba in Nisan, and that's the date written in the shover. But in the end of the day, the husband only paid up the ksuba in Tishrei, and therefore she only actually gave him the shover in Tishrei. So what if he paid up the loan? If he paid up the ksuba, what difference does it make when it was? No, because the azul is a bant of the ksuba b'tovus hanah min nisan about Tishrei, this woman in between Nisan and Tishrei sold her position in the Ksuba, meaning if a woman is owed $30,000 in the Ksuba, so she can sell that Ksuba that to someone else and say, you'll get the $30,000. How much can she sell it for? Well, certainly not $30,000, because there's no guarantee that it will ever become collected. Meaning, if a woman predeceases her husband, then there's not going to be a ksuba. If a woman does something outlandish that destroys a marriage, then she's not going to be entitled to a ksuba. But in a regular case of divorce, or a case where the husband dies first, then she'd be able to collect the ksuba. So she's selling that right to collect the ksuba. So mapaklei the shover, and then the husband will be able to take out the shover, diksiv ben isan, and the shover has a date prior to the sale of the ksuba. Vasal mitraf, and vasal mitraf lekucho shelo kedin, and the husband will be able to say, I don't have to pay this guy that bought the ksuba the value of the ksuba. I already paid the ksuba prior to her ever selling it. So what she sold was a ksuba that was already paid up. She had no right to sell anything, and therefore I don't owe anything. But in reality, he does, because he hadn't paid up the ksuba at that time, and in the interim she had sold the ksuba to a third party, so he really does owe it to the third party, so they can wrong somebody with this. Amar Rava, so Rava comments, Shema Mina, Isal de Shmuel. We see a raya from here that we pass like Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, because Shmuel has a chiddush that a mocher sharchov the chaver of chazon mechalo machul. Why am I not concerned that maybe the woman sold the ksuba in between, and therefore the money is really owed to that guy and not to the woman herself, and her hoda'ah should be worthless, because we assume like Shmuel, who says that if you sell the shtar chov and then you're mochel that chov, then it's machel. The mechila is in fact binding. The mechila is in fact valid. So it could be the woman did sell the ksuba somewhere in between. But even after she sells the ksuba, she still has the right to be mochel the ksuba. Because if you assume like Shmuel, even though you already sold the shtar chov, if you want to be mochel, you have the right to be mochel, v'afilu yoresh mochel, and even the yoresh of the malva can be mochel to the lova, and the lokeach will now not be able to collect. So since that's the din, there's no chashash whatsoever in returning the shover to the husband, because even if the woman in fact did sell the chov of the ksuba, let's say in chodesh iyar, she could still be mochel the ksuba to the husband and cost the lokeach any rights to be able to collect that ksuba. So therefore, you don't have to worry that maybe the dates were off, because she has every right to be mochel. Now, the very idea of mechira shtaros is a major machlokas rishonim, that this very concept that you could sell your position in a shtar, how that's binding, why that's binding, and based on each sheet in rishonim, you have a different understanding of why it is that Shmuel holds that a malva can be that the malva could be mochel after the mechira already happened. The Rambam sheet in Ilchus Mechira is that mechira shtaros can only work on a drabbanan level. On a daraisa level, you're not able to sell your position in a shtar. Oh, then you understand very well why the malva could be mochel, because mi daraisa, he's still the one that's owed the money. So if he's owed the money, he could be mochel. He's owed the money on a daraisa level. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by the Ran that mechira shtaros is min haTorah, but any chov is a combination of two shibudim. There's a shibud haguf that's chal on the lova himself, and there's a shibud nechasim on the nechasim of the lova. Now, it's possible to sell only the shibud nechasim, but the shibud haguf remains by the malva. So the reason the mechila of the mocher works on the shibud haguf that he remains with to be mafkia the zchus of the lokeach who acquired the shibud nechasim is because once the shibud haguf is gone, the shibud nechasim falls away on its own. So even when you sell a shtar, what you're selling is the shibud nechasim. So long as the shibud haguf is still intact, that shibud nechasim is still going to be there. But if I'm mochel the shibud haguf, which remains by me, well then the shibud nechasim immediately falls away on its own. That is shitas Rabbeinu Tam. The Ravid holds that mechira shtaros, the lokeach is only kona the shibud haguf and not the shibud nechasim. The malva has to write a harsha'a on the chov. And without that, he cannot be toveya the loveh. So even though the mitzad, the mocher, the mechira, is binding, but nevertheless, if the mocher is mochel to the loveh can taina that lav bal dvarm didi at. But if he writes, mishtabad nalach l'chol da'asi machmaseich, that I'm being mishabit to myself to you, and anyone who comes in your stead, then the malveh is not able to be chozer umochel. And there are many other shitos in Rishonim as well, exactly how Mechira Shtaros works, and based on exactly how Mechira Shtaros works, why is it that Shmuel holds that even after the Mechira, you could still be Mochel Dechov? So again, that is the Gemara wants to say, you see from our Mishnah, from the fact that we're willing to return the Shover, and you're not worried about some discrepancy in the date, that we must paskin like Shmuel. So the Gemara is Machlokas, why we do not necessarily have to say that. Machlokas Abaye and Rava, why you don't necessarily have to pass on like Shmuel, and we're still going to say that if the woman is modi, you return the shofar. Abaye Amra Filu Tema Leisei Lidu Shmuel. Even if we do not assume like Shmuel, that you cannot, we assume that you cannot be Mochel Chov, you've already sold. Hachamai Skinan Bishtar Ksuba Bishtar Ksuba Yotzei Mitachas Yada. Over here we're talking about a case where she still had the Shtar Ksuba. She's able to show them the Shtar Ksuba. So if she still has the Shtar, you don't have to worry that maybe she sold the Shtar Ksuba in the intervening 6 months. If she had sold it, why is she still holding on to it? So the Rush raises the question, what do you mean? Why aren't we choshish that maybe she sold it, but the kinyan that she used was a kinyan agav? And the agav karka. So normally when you sell a davar shel mitalteilin like a ksuba, you'd have to give it because the person has to make a kinyan on it, so it makes no sense that she would still be holding on to it. But if the kinyan that they employed was a kinyan agav, so the guy only had to, the buyer only had to make a kinyan on karka, and then it'll be kona the mitalteilin wherever it may be. So she might still have the ksuba. So don't you have to be choshish for that? So the Rush says, no, because why on earth would someone who's buying a ksuba agree to do a kinyan agav where she's still going to be holding on to the ksuba? He would want, if you're buying a ksuba, you'd want to get that document because that's all you got. That's the power. That's where the power comes from. It's from the document. You would never do a kinyan agav on a ksuba. He quotes Rav Haigon, who says that whenever we say that there's such a thing as kinyan agav, that's only by that you could be kona a shtar with a kinyan agav karka. That's only the shtar for the mechira of that karka. That to buy some other shtar agav a karka doesn't work. It simply is not. It doesn't fall under the purview of a kinyan agav. The Ritva suggests that since the shtar is yotzei mitachas yada, she's ne'amenes, that it's prua even without the reason that yichala limchal. That grants her a certain level of ne'amenes. So anyway, so Abaye says, we don't necessarily have to say like Shmuel that that you have the ability to be mochel something even after you sold it. We just don't think there's a possibility that she sold it because she's still holding on to it. V'rava Amar, Rava says a different reason. Im shum shtar ksuba chashinan l'shtei Ksubos, that Rava says, I reject Abaye's explanation. I think that we have to say like I said, which is just simply that that we must be assuming that our Brisa and Mishnah must be assumed like Shmuel, because Abaye's reason that she's holding on to the Ksuba doesn't tell me anything, because there may have been a second Ksuba. So if there may have been a second Ksuba, the Shover may in fact have been written for the Ksuba that that she had already sold. V'abayi amar chada, Abayi says two reasons why I reject Rava. Number one, l'shtei ksubas lo chashinan. We're never choshes that maybe there's a second ksuba that we don't know about. And va'od, another reason to reject the taina of Rava, that even if she in fact sold her ksuba b'tovas anah, there's no chashash in returning the shover to the husband, shover bismano tarif, that someone who receives a shtar shover, even though he didn't pay in the time that's written in the shover, he only paid 6 months later, but since he has the shover, he can be govel mafreya from the time that the Edom signed the shover. It's as if he already paid back then. And therefore, he could be toref and take away from anyone who purchased anything in the interim, because it actually works the mafreya to the date that's written in the shover. So even if the husband actually didn't pay the ksuba until Tishrei, but since the time that's written in the shover is Nisan, if he has the, if we give him the shover right now, he'll be able to be zochel mafreya from Nisan. So it will turn out that the Mechiras HaKsuba was never Chal, and you don't owe anything to the Lokach, meaning Ein HaChinami, the Lokach loses out, but rightfully so, because the Shover applies from the time that it's signed. Abaye Tamei, and this is Abaye L'Shitaso, Tamar Edom B'Chasum of Zachon Lo, Abaye holds that Edom signed on a shtar. At the time of the Chasima, there is Zocha in Eddie's Chus that's written in that shtar for the person that it's written for, and when the shtar gets to the Makabel, everything is going to be Chal Limafreya. That is Abaye L'Shitaso. So essentially what we have over here is a Machlokas, Abaye and Rava, why it is that you could return a shover when the Isha is Moda, that the Ksuba has already been paid up. Rava says it's because we're assuming, like the Shita of Shmuel, that she has the right to be Mochel after the time that she already sold it. And Abaye says, no, it's because she's still holding on to the shtar. And the Gemara says what they're really arguing about is two different things. That Rava disagrees with Abaye about two things. That number one, Rava's choshesh that there may be shtei ksubos, and number two, that Rava does not say Edov b'chasum of zachano, whereas Abaye holds Edov b'chasum of zachano. Okay, so that ends that sugya. So now we move on to the next Mishnah, where the Mishnah is going to tell us about a number of shtaros that you may return if you find the shtar. So matzah igros shum, if you find igros shum, which are shtaros that make an assessment, where Beis Din makes an assessment for the malva, that they assess the value of the nechasim of the lova and to know exactly how much they're worth, and they write that down in a shtar so that when the malva comes to collect, he'll know what he can collect, at what value. The igros mazon, or you find shtaros that Beis Din writes for a woman as a raya that her husband has been mekabel upon himself to support her daughter from a previous marriage. Or shtari chalitza, a shtar that Beis Din writes for a shomeres yavam, that the yavam already did chalitza in front of them, and therefore she's now muteres l'shuk, she can marry whoever she wants. Umi unin, or a katana whose father dies, and the mother of the brother and the brother accept kiddushin for her, and they marry her off, and then she does miyun against that husband, that she's not interested in being with that husband. So Beis Din writes a shtar that they saw that she did the miyun, in order that she'll have that shtar as a raya, that she's allowed to get remarried. Shtari birurin. The Gemara is going to have two deos. What that is? But kol ma'isa Beis Din, and anything that was written al yidei Beis Din, and we'll discuss other types of ma'isa Beis Din, shtar chaltasa, shtar adrafta, where you have other types of ma'isa Beis Din. All those things harezei yachzir. You can return it to the person who was written for, because we don't have to be worried that maybe the Beis Din wrote the shtar al das to give it, and in the end they saw that it didn't happen and they changed their mind and they didn't give it, because Beis Din does not write shtaros until the ma'isa already happened. Beis Din does not just write shtaros in advance. When something happens, then they write the shtar. So if it's a ma'isa Beis Din, that's good. You can know that whatever is reflected in that shtar was in fact executed. Matzah b'chafisa b'dluskma, a second category of shtaros that we return is if there's some sort of simen in the way these shtaros were packaged. So you find a shtar in different types of kelim, tachruk shel shtaros, you find a roll of shtaros, o aguda shel shtaros, or a pile of shtaros, yeah, bundle of shtaros, hareze yachzir. You return those because they're assumed to have a simin. The kama aguda shel shtaros, how many shtaros need to be in a binding up of shtaros? Shlosh kshurin zebezeh, if you have three shtaros that are tied together. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, if you find three shtaros, and what they all have in common is it's the same lova in all three shtaros. Different malvas, same lova in all three shtaros. So then obviously the lova is the one that dropped it. It was his pile of shtaros, so you can return it to the lova. Shlosha lovin mina echad, if it's the same malva in all three shtaros, so yachzer the malva. Then obviously this was his pile of shtaros, and you return it to the malva. Matzah shtar ben shtaros avin yodeh mativo. What if you're just cleaning out your desk one day and you find a shtar? You're not the malva, nor are you the lova. It's between two other parties, and for some reason you're holding on to the shtar, and you have no recollection of why you're holding on to the shtar. It could be that the money wasn't loaned yet, and you were told, hang on to the shtar in case I ever borrow money from this fellow. It could be the money was loaned, and the person didn't trust himself to hang on to it himself. So it could be that it was partially paid back, so they don't want the shtar in the hands of the lender, because he'll be able to collect all of the money that's written in the shtar if he had the shtar, but you don't want to give it back to the borrower yet because then the lender will not be able to collect anything. So they entrusted you as a third party to hold on to it, knowing that half of the money in the shtar was paid back. But you forgot. You forgot the whole story. You forgot. You have no idea. You have no idea why it is that you're holding on to the shtar. So you got to keep hanging on to it until you figure out what this was really all about. So the Rashba writes, even if they're both moda, you're not maksir to the malva because you have to be choshish for kanunya and hafsid l'kuchos. That even if shnei modim, you can't be maksir. They both tell you what the story. I mean, you call them both up and you say, why do I have a shtar with your name? And, oh, don't you remember? And they both tell you the same story. Still, you can't return. You have to be choshish l'kanunya. The Rosh says, no. Choshish l'kanunya was when you found the shtar on the floor. It was lost. Someone dropped it. Then choshish l'kanunya because there was already a reyes on the shtar. Over here, it's in your safekeeping. It's in your file cabinet. So that we don't have to be choshish l'kanunya. If there's shnei modim, you don't have to wait at shiav elio. You could just do what they say is the right thing. Now, if you find a shtar ben shtaros, avim yeshiman symphonos, if together with the shtaros there's also a shovar, meaning the malva finds among his shtaros a shovar that says that he himself had written to the lova as a raya that the lova had already paid the chov and the shtar chov, but he still has the shtar chov and he has no idea why it is that he has the shovar. Meaning, normally, if I have the shtar chov, so I may go over to the guy and say, you still owe me the money, and he'll pull out the shovar that says that no, I already paid it back and you gave me this receipt. Why in the world would the malva still have the receipt? So he has no idea why he still has the receipt. So yasa mashad b'simfonos. Nevertheless, he has to live by that shover. He has to assume that the loan was paid back, and that's why there is a receipt on this loan, and he is bound by that shover. So now, we had two categories in the Mishnah of types of shtaros that you return. We have the category of Maisa Beis Din, and we gave a number of examples, and a category of things that there's a simen on. So one of the things we mentioned that was the Maisa Beis Din is Shtare Birurin. So my Shtare Birurin, what do the words mean? What exactly is a Shtar Birur? So says Gemara Hacha Tirgumu, in Bava they explained it means Shtare Ta'anosa, the shtaros that the scribes in the Beis Din write down the Tainos of the Balei Din. So they write down the Tainos so that they'll have a clear record of what each party said. Rabbi Yirmiya Amar, Zebor Loechad, Zebor Loechad. No, Shtari Birurin are the shtaros where they write up how they choose the Beis Din. Meaning if they don't agree to a single Beis Din to go to, so they do what's called the Zabla, that Zebor Loechad, each one chooses a Dayan, and then the two Dayanim together pick a third Dayan. So they all of that is binding in the Shtar. Now there is a discussion in the Rishonim, Machloks in the Rishonim, up until when can the Balei Din be chozer on the briras hadayanim that they did? There are those Rishonim that hold that calls man that there's not yet a gemar din even after they already wrote a shtar birurim. The shtar is just a person can't say after the gemar din that we never did a birur, but they can still be chozer up until the gemar din. And others say no, once you write a shtar birurim, that's it, that's your Beis Din, you're stuck with them, and there's no being chozer on that Beis Din. But bottom line is, they're going to write up some sort of shtar to reflect a birur, to reflect this zebor loechad. We then said, you return any maisa basin. So the Gemara brings a maisa that relates to this. There was a maisa that they found again, we already saw this maisa earlier, that they found a get mekuyam in the basin of Rav Huna, and when the get was brought to the basin, in order to be mekayim, the signatures, whoever brought it obviously dropped it, and they don't know who brought it here. So they came to the basin, a person came to the basin, and tainted that he dropped the get, that the husband, whose name and the name of his wife are the names that are written in the get, had appointed me as a shliach to bring this get to his wife and please return the get so I could do my shlichus, so I could give it to the wife. He says, I'm the one that dropped it, I know the guy, he's a friend of mine, and he asked me to deliver this get to his wife, please return it to me. And it said in the get that the place of the ksiva was Bishviri Masa Da'al Rachis Nahara. So it had the Shema Ish, the Shema Isha, and the precise makam of Shviri Masa Da'al Rachis Nahara, the town of Shviri, right on the riverbank of Rachis. So Rav Huna said, even though we know that in the town of Shviri, we don't know of any other person by the same name as the husband, other than this husband himself, meaning it's not Huchsak Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Bi'ir Echad. We don't have any knowledge of there being Shnei Yosef Chashinon L'Shnei Shviri. We have to be Choshish that there's another town of Shviri somewhere else that we don't know about, where another person by this name is married to another woman by this name, and therefore I cannot trust to give this this get to this person. So I'm the Rav Chisra. Rav Chisra said to Rav Chisra, was the Talmud of Rav Huna, said L'Rabba, to Rabba, another Talmud of Rav Huna, Pokayein, go look into the sugya, Delor to Baila Rav Huna Minach, because in the evening Rav Huna is going to ask what your research yielded, whether this is correct, this Hora'a that he had, that we shouldn't return this because we have to be Choshesh for Shnei Shviri, whether that's correct. So Nafak Dak V'Ashkach, so Rabba went out and he did the research, and he found a Mishnah from which to be Medayek, that Rav Huna's psak was incorrect. Ditznan, our Mishnah says, Kol Maisa Bezdin, Hareza Yachzir. Any shtar that's a Maisa Bezdin, you do return it to the person that it was written for. So since it was the Niskayim Ashtar Bezdin, you don't have to worry that maybe it was not given. So you see from our Mishnah that since in this city that the shtar was written, we don't know of another person by the same name, you don't have to be choshish that maybe there's another city where someone else has that same name, and therefore the shtar was written for that person. Because if that were the case, then why would you return a shtar to the person who was written for, even if it was a Maisa Bezdin, even if it was a Niskayim Bebezdin? Shouldn't you have to be Choshish? Maybe it was a Niskayim Bebezdin, but not for this party. Maybe it was a Niskayim Bebezdin for someone else who has the same name and happens to live in a city by the same name. I mean, if that was really a Chashash, then you should never return a Maisa Bezdin. So I'm like, Rav Amram L'Rabba, Rav Amram said to Rabbi, you think you have a raya from our Mishnah to the case that Rav Huna paskened about? Rav Huna was paskening about a get. You're bringing a raya about the shtarei mamon. Hechi pashet mari sura mi mamona. How can you be poshet what the din is in a shtar that relates to iser from a shtar that relates to mamon? By mamon, the chachamim are going to be making that. You don't have to worry that there's another shviri with the same name, same guy. No, but by iser, when it comes to a get, you have to worry about everything. So Rabbi said back to Rav Amram, tarda. Tarda means some sort of insult. It means you fool, you crazy person, you confused person, something like that. In fact, this Gemara makes it into, I think, is one of the Gemaras that the Chavis Yair has in that Tshuva, where the Chavis Yair says the Chacham never insulted each other. Everything was a compliment. You fool meant the sweetest kind of fool, or whatever. I don't know. Whatever it means, it always means something nice, but it doesn't sound that way. So he says, Tarda, shtari chalitzu miyunin tanan. How can you bring a raya? How can you tell me that my raya from our Mishnah is not a good raya? Because our Mishnah is only about Dine Mamanis. Our Mishnah says Shtari Chalitza, Shtari Miyunin, that's Ishus, that's marriage, that's that's just like a get. So Paka Arzad Beirav, at that time the pillar in the Beis Medrash cracked in half. So Maram Mishum Lasay Didi Paka. So Rav Amram said, yeah, it was for my honor, because you just called me a not nice name. So Hashem made that happen to defend my honor. Well, Maram Mishum Lasay Didi Paka. And Rabbah said, no, Hashem did it to defend my honor, that you're trying to attack me for no reason with silly tainas. So each one interpreted the events in the way that that seemed to back up their understanding of how this conversation should have played out. Okay, so matzah b'chafisa b'dluskama. The Mishnah then said, if you find the shtaros in a chafisa or a dluskama, my chafisa, what is a chafisa? Am rabar b'chana, chemas ketana, a small leather pouch. My dluskama, am rabar shmuel, talika desavi. It's a type of bag or a box that older people would put the things that they need in, that their medications and their whatever else, the little things, their coupons or whatever it is that old people carry around with them as they walk around. So it's their little fanny pack, so that they won't have to look for things. They have something that they carry around with them. So then the Mishnah says, Tachru shel shtaros, or aguda shel shtaros. If you have a roll of shtaros, tachrich is lashon korech. Right, korech means to roll something or to wrap something. So they have a wrapping or a rolling of shtaros. That's why we always point out that korech at the Seder probably doesn't mean a sandwich, it probably means a wrap, right? Because probably we used to all eat soft matzahs, but now only the Svardim eat the soft matzahs. So tachrush shtaros or agudah shtaros, if you have a roll of shtaros or a pile of shtaros that are bound together, so we said that you can return it. So Tanu Rabbanan, kamahu tachrush shtaros. How many shtaros need to be in the roll in order for it to qualify as a tachrush shtaros? So shlosh ukruchin zebiz kazeh, if you have three shtaros that are wrapped together. And that's a good enough simon to be able to say, a guy says, I found shtaros, and he doesn't say how many there are, so the guy who lost them says, they're mine, and there were three of them that are kruchim zeh bezeh. So he said, okay, that's a good simon. V'kami yaguda shel shtaros, and how many is in the yaguda shel shtaros? Again, shlosh shekshurin zeh bezeh, at least three. Shav mina kesher simon. We see from here that the kesher is a simon, and we return an aveda based on that. Meaning, if the guy who lost it gives a simon in the aveda about the type of kesher that bound them together, so that's a simon, and that's good enough for us to return the aveda. Because if you don't say that, what simon is there in the aguda shel shtaros? Why would we return it to the bailim? So says Gemara, no, you can't bring a raya from here that a kesher is a simon. Hatani Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya already taught in a brisa that explains aguda shel shtaros shlosha kruchim zeh bezeh. That's the simon, that the three of them were kruchim together. That it's the derech of people that when a person wants to bind a number of shtaros together, he doesn't wrap them all in the single wrapping. He first wraps each one separately, and then he puts them all together and he ties them together. But he rolls each one separately, like rolls up a diploma kind of each one separately, and then we'll bind them together. But he wouldn't put all three together and wrap them all in the same wrapping. So that's the raya. The raya is that it's an unusual way that they were wrapped together. If that's the case, that an aguda shel shtaros is three shtaros that are kruchim together, hainu tachrich, that's the same thing as the tachrich shel shtaros. So as well, it's just a different way of wrapping them. Tachrich kol chad v'chad b'rosh d'chavrei, and the tachrich shel shtaros, each one is the bottom of one shtar is at the top of the other one, and you just roll them up in one after the other. And aguda d'rama adadi ukruchos. And aguda shel shtaros means you pile the three on top of each other, and then you roll up the pile of the three. So it's just a different way of rolling them up. My machriz, when someone finds a tachrich or an aguda shel shtaros, how does he announce in public about the metziah? Is he so if you're going to say that he's machriz minyan, the number of shtaros that he found, he says, I found three shtaros, and then the guy lost and gives a simon that they were kruchim yachad. Well, then ma'ir yitzlasa. Why does the Mishnah the Brayse say that it's only if he finds three shtaros in the tachruch or the aguda, then there's a simon and you return it to the owner? Afilu treinami. Even if there are only two shtaros that are wrapped together, the halacha should be the same. You're telling the number anyway, so what difference does it make what the number is if you're being machriz the number? Ella kadam Ravina. So we have to say like Ravina says in the next parak, which Bez Hashem will get to tomorrow in Parakei L'Metzias. We're not going to get to Ravina's statement tomorrow, that comes up in a little while, that if a person finds three matbeos, one on top of each other, that you should not announce the number. Tiva machriz. You say, I found coins. And you don't say how many there are, and that's up to the guy who lost them to say how many there are. That's going to be his simon. So chalami, shtari machriz. So too over here. When you find shtaros, that's all the information you give. You say, I found shtaros, and let the guy who lost it say, oh yeah, it was three, that were kruchim all together, and then you'll return it. So it's dafkin, find three shtaros that you can return it, because if it's only shnei shtaros, and you say shtaros matzasi, and someone says, oh, it must have been two, that's not really a simon, because that's an easy guess. Whenever you say a multiple, whenever you say more than one, whenever you say a plural, the natural guess is that it's two, because that's the minimum of a plural. Then the Mishnah said, Rishim Gumli, that if one person was lova from three different people, then you could, and all three shtaros have the same lova, you return it to the lova. So how do I know that the three belong to the same lova? Because if these three shtaros had belonged to the three different malvas, well, what are they all doing together? The three malvas have nothing to do with each other. So dilma l'kuminu asli. No, maybe the three shtaros were together because the three Malvin went together to Beis Din in order to be Mekayim, the Chasimus of the Edom on these Shtaros, and so that the Dayarim could write a Hempek on each of the Shtaros as a Raya, that it's Mekuyam. And as they were going to the Beis Din, they gave all the Shtaros to one of them, meaning one guy said to his neighbor, oh, you're going to Beis Din today to be Mekayim your Shtar? Here, take mine also. And then another guy said, oh, you're going? Take mine also. So one guy was bringing all the Shtaros from his block, all the Malvins in his block, to Beis Din. How do you know that if that it came from the same lover. So, I mean, a lot of times, you know, a lot of people in the same neighborhood will lend money to the same person. So it's the same lover in every shtar. But, you know, it's a friend group, so they all lend money to the same person. So the mother, they send one guy with all the shtaros. So it says Gemara, we're talking about a case, the Mekaimi, that the shtaros were already Mekuyam, there already was a handpick on them. So you can't say that it must have been that it was on the way to the Beis Din. So Dumam Yad Safi Nafal, okay, even better. Maybe it was ready Mekuyam, and the sofer of the Beis Din is the one that dropped it, that he was Mekayim all these shtaros. He was supposed to give it back to the guy to then deliver it back to all of his neighbors, and he dropped it. So Lamashin Ishkiyum Biyad Safa. Person does not leave a shtar Mekuyam by the sofer Adayanim. He right away takes back the henpik, he takes back the shtar Mekuyam so that he could have it with him. And therefore, the most plausible explanation is that the lover is the one that dropped it. Shlosh Shlov Meachad Yaksin the Malve. If it's the same Malve in all three shtaros, we return it to the Malve. Because if they belong to the Loves, then what are they all doing together with the same Malve on it? So there are three different Loves. So maybe the three of them got together, the three Loven went together to the Sofer to write a shtaros for them, Almanas, that afterwards, when they come to borrow money, they'll be able to have a shtar ready to hand over to this Malve. Safi says, no, we know that didn't happen because it's clearly written by three different sofer, by three different scribes. So they weren't all just going to the sofer. But maybe they were going to Bezin to be Mekayim it. Well, no, that doesn't make sense. Malva Mekayim Shtari. A Malva would go be Mekayim Shtar. Lova lo Mekayim Shtari. A Lova would never be going to be Mekayim Shtar. And therefore, if it's the same Malva in all three Shtaros, you return it to the Malva. Then the Mishnah said, Im Yeshiman Symphonos, Yasim Hashem Symphonos. If among your Shtaros you find a receipt, you find a shovar, next to a shtar that says that somebody owes you money, you find a shofar that says it's already paid up, then you have to assume it's already been paid up, even though you're the one holding on to the shofar, which doesn't make sense. So that if you find the shofar among your documents, even though the shofar is written in the handwriting of the malva, it's just a joke that you're messing around with the lova, the shofar is puzzle, you have a shtar chov, the guy still owes you the money. So the Gemara explains what Rabbi Yirmiyah means when he says Afal Pisha Kosav B'Ksav Yado Lomi B'Yu Kosav B'Ksav Yad Sofer Dikal Lememar Safer Yisrael Milev Kosav. You don't even need to tell me that if it's written in the sofer's handwriting, where I could assume that maybe you just wanted to have a shofar on hand when you ran into a sofer because you weren't sure when the next time you were going to run into a sofer was. So even though the loan was not paid back, you asked the fellow to write a shofar for you. Elafil Kosav B'Ksav Yado Pasul. Even if you wrote it in your own handwriting, why would you write a shofar before the loan was paid back? Still, we assume that it's possible and the loan was not paid back. Why? Because Savar Dilma Mishrami Vasi Ben Hashmashos the Kaparali. Because your logic is the guy owes you money, so you're always hopeful that next time you see him, he's going to say, "Oh, I owe you money, and I want to pay you back." Wait, but I'm not going to pay you back until you give me a receipt. So you want to have a receipt in your pocket that you can give it to him right away, so that he can get paid back. If I don't provide him with a shofar, he's not going to pay me my money. So let me write a shofar so that when he pays me back, meaning you want to take away any excuse from someone who owes you money from paying you back. So you know, you don't want to give him if only we had a shofar. So no, you'll have a shofar ready for you. So it's not a raya that the loan was paid back. Tanan. So now we ask on Rabbi Yirmiyah. So again, Rabbi Yirmiyah says you find the malva finds a shofar, you can assume that the loan is already paid back. So we're going to challenge Rabbi Yirmiyah five times. Tanan, our Mishnah says in Yeshimah Symphonos, Yasim Hashem Shebet Symphonos. Our Mishnah says explicitly that if you find a shofar, you got to do what it says in the shofar. So answer Gemara Kedam Rav Safra, just like Rav Safra says by a different kasha that we asked in Rabbi Yirmiyah from Mishnah Maseches Shavuos that in the case Shenimtza Bein Shtaros Kruin, that he makes new kimta, that the Mishnah is talking about where you find the shofar among a bunch of torn shtaros of the malva, meaning shtaros that are already paid up and you don't need anymore, and that's why you tore them up. So that Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to be molded in such a case that even though you found the shofar in the hand of the malva, it's a kashra shofar, and the shtar chov that it was written on is in fact a shtar perua. So Hachanami in our Mishnah as well is somehow a unique case shemitzo bein shtaros kruin, that you find it among the torn up shtaros. Tashema says Gemara will bring you another raya from Maseches Bava Basra that talks about a city that two people have the same name, two Yosef ben Shimons live in the same city, you find the shofar that says that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon has already been paid up. You assume that they're both paid up because you can't prove which one wasn't paid up. But bottom line is, you see that if there is a shofar, that's consequential. It's so consequential that you have to assume both Yosef ben Shimon's already paid up. Isn't that a raya against Rabbi Yirmiyahu? Or Rabbi Yirmiyahu says you could ignore the shofar. So it says Gemara, same answer. Kedam Rav Safra, Shimon's ben Shtaros Keruin. Hachanaim, Shimon's ben Shtaros Keruin. That we're talking about a case where you found it among torn up Shtaros. Tashma, I'll bring you a third raya. It says in Masech Shavuos that if the Malva and the Lova died, and the Yorshei Malva come to collect the Chov from the Yorshei HaLova, and they have a Shtar on the Chov, they're not allowed to collect it unless they take a Shavua first. So the Mishnah explains, what is the Shavua? Shavua Shalo Pakadnu Abba, we take a Shavua that our father didn't tell us anything, that the Shtar was already paid up before he died. Shalo Amar Lanu Abba, that he didn't tell us. Shalo Matsanu Beishtros of Shalaba, Shtar Zaparua, we didn't find anything that says that the Shtar was Parua among our father's documents. So it sounds like if someone found a shofar that said that it was paid up, then you live by that shofar. You cannot ignore the shofar. Once again, against Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rav Safra, answers, Shenimtza ben Shtaros Keruin. The same answer. That we're talking in a case where you find it among the torn up Shtaros, and therefore you can assume that it in fact was a Shtar Perua. But normally, you would have to do Masha Kosov the shofar. You'd have to assume that normally you could ignore the shofar and not do what it says in the shofar. Okay, we have two more rayas, and we're still going to try to get to the end of the parak tomorrow, as well as Bezrashem tomorrow will begin parak Elu Metzius. Have a good day, everybody.